Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Latest deal, Jeff McNeil, now in Oakland Athletic. Let's head out to Elwood. It's Dan. It's the Fan. Kicking off the noon hour. What's going on, Danny?
Hey, Moose. How you doing today?
I'm doing well, Dan. How about yourself, bud?
Doing well. Just driving back from LaGuardia. Dropped off my mom at the airport. Quick question for you. Do you know Michael Lewis, the author of Moneyball and The Big Short?
Yeah, I know the name. I don't know him personally, but yes. I read Moneyball. Yeah. Very good writer, very good author, yes.
So he has a podcast called Against the Rules, that 10 episodes long. He does a full series on gambling. And I want to ask you as a father, because one of the things, as you were talking earlier around your boys,
yeah,
he says that the convo is no longer the birds and the bees, but rather the parlays and the pick'ems. So now that you have boys that are coming of age, they know what to do, gambling is everywhere. Is this something which you're treating as a forbidden fruit? How are you handling it? What are you going to do if you say you're not till the age and of age and you catch them doing it early? Because I know for me, we started, fantasy sports when we were in high school. It all grew, and same thing even with alcohol. We were drinking beers in high school and whatnot. So,
yeah. So the question
to handle this.
Yeah, I mean,
early,
the question is, have I addressed gambling with my kids? Well, yeah. To an extent, right? I could throw a joke out there, but I understand where you're going. You address in a certain way. They play fantasy sports, or two of them, Gregory, who's a huge football fan, huge Giant fan, and Paul, and they've got leagues with their friends, right, from school. And they do that, right? So they get into drafting the team and doing all of those things, right? We just talk about the fact of none of them have phones yet. Two of them have watches, Apple watches, just from being able to stay in touch, especially when, they're out playing hockey and stuff like that. So our youngest son does not. Have I addressed gambling with them? Yeah, to a certain extent. I mean, they're still 12, 10, and 9. I haven't gone through it. It's a matter of being responsible with it, understanding what you can and what you cannot do. It can be something that's fun as long as it doesn't, just like in moderation, just as long as it doesn't take over your life, where it becomes that's the end all be all. It's become obviously when I grew up. It wasn't as predominant as it is right now. So it's a completely different mindset. But yeah, there are things that you need to do. And we talk about being, responsible. We talk about being, good people, good kids, being respectful, taking care of your brothers, being good to mommy and daddy, being a good friend. Those are kind of the core staples, helping out family when they need help. But also from the outside looking in, when you're looking at things like whether it be gambling or everything, it's going to be out there. And I'm not going to say that you can't do it when you're of age, but you have to be responsible when you do so.
And it was just something more kind of for your audience to hear your opinion on it, and even just something maybe to interject of a little kind of like, hey, how am I going to really be handled? Because the majority of kids in high school these days are betting, and even when they're not of age, they're still making and placing bets, and there's all these ways
getting
around it.
I mean, Danny, still, I can't speak to everybody else. I'm just concerned, and what's going on. I understand that where it is. I'm not naive to the aspect of it. you know, I think I like the fact that you can do it. Like, and I grew up playing horses, and I still do to this day. I love the Kentucky Derby. I was at the Kentucky Derby first time I was ever there. I was 16 years old, driving out. My dad drove all night from Blauvelt, New York, to Louisville, Kentucky, to make sure that we were there for Oaks Day the Friday before. That was 1992. That was the year of Arazi. And I think it was Little E.T., first Derby victory for Pat Day. That won that rendition of the Kentucky Derby that year. But, you know, I grew up going to the racetrack, you know, so, you know, I've been around it kind of my entire life. And I think it's okay. I think it's great. I mean, I the fact that everything is, you know, how available it is now, but I think you got to just be responsible with it. And I can't worry about what's going on with other kids and other families. All Donna and I can worry about what's going on, in our household. And how we handle it here moving forward in a myriad of different things. So you brought up one of them. Interesting conversation, interesting point. Dave in Stamford, Connecticut's up next in the fan. What's going on, Dave?
Hey, Moose, what's happening, man? Good to talk to you again.
How you doing, Dave?
First, I want to start off, you know, I called in probably, I think it was the 2024 season right before the trade deadline. And I was vouching to trade Pete. And you called me a clown. And I want to give you a mea culpa. You were right. We kept him that year. We made the run. We should have signed him. But now we look back 2 years later, and Stearns lets him walk. And one of the comments you made was, where are you going to get that production? 35 yeah. home runs at first base. Where do you get that? So I don't get what Stearns is doing here. I think from my perspective, I think Stearns has a little bit of an ego, right? I think he wants to do it his way, as you've mentioned. I think he wants to get his guys in. You've already seen the Tyrone Taylor come in from the Brewers. You got Devin Williams from the Brewers. There's links about Peralta and McGill coming over. I think this really comes down to Stearns wanting to have his fingerprints on this. So whether he succeeds or fails, he can say it was his guys and they weren't holdovers from the old regime. I mean, I think if you look at this, right, he should have fired Mendoza, not his entire staff and not him. Mendoza had the talent in the clubhouse, had big-time talent. He should have been able to at least manage that from a player perspective if he's a player's coach. And then also, you know, if you are looking now to potentially trade for a Scooble or trade for a Peralta and give up all these prospects, why not keep that core who got us to the playoffs the last two of the last 4 years? You could have traded for a big-time pitcher, you know, and given up those prospects that we were trying to hold on to. So I just don't get what's going on here with Stearns. I really think it's what it comes down to. He's got an ego, and he wants it to be his team and
I think everyone's got an ego, right? So no matter what you do, right, you feel good about yourself. I tell students at Iona when I teach a class, you've got to be the biggest fan of yourselves because you can't expect outside of your family, mom, dad, aunt, uncle, whatever it might be, you know, you've got to be the biggest fan of yourself. So everyone's got an ego in life. Now, the question is that ego helpful or hurtful? Now, you look at Stearns. I'll present it to you this way, Dave. Based on the way that the season ended.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try assemble and bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Stearns was presented and how disastrous this past year was. Stearns was
kind of doing though, not getting the pitching.
No, I get it. I'm not taking blame away from him. Like I kicked off the program talking about it. It had nothing to do with chemistry. It was the fact that the Mets didn't have starting pitching. The Mets didn't have enough. he was presented with an opportunity. And the opportunity was, is I'm going to be able to move forward now. And he has taken advantage of that opportunity to mold this team as he sees fit. So he doesn't necessarily believe in stars. He believes in grinders. And he's going to start to build this team in his vision. I mean, that's it. Well, because we might be having, Dave, we might be having a completely different conversation a couple days before Christmas. If the start of the Mets season was the entirety of the Mets season, they lose to the Dodgers once again in the National League Championship Series, we might be having a completely different conversation about the structure of this roster today, given what transpired, if that happened as compared to transpiring what did happen. And
it's
I think now, based on how it went, they leaned into what happened 2 years ago in the National League Championship Series, and it didn't work. So the frustration is there, and he is basically mantra, I wouldn't tell you I was in the room, I wasn't, but I would imagine it would be, well, we did it this way, you brought me in here, now I want to do it my way.
Well, this might end up being a Nico Harrison. I mean, you look at what he did with the Mavs and trading Luka and the fan blowback and how bad the team performed and brought in an injured Anthony Davis. I mean, I'll be honest with you, I think, okay, maybe Cohen might give Stearns this year, but if he doesn't bring in the right players, there's no big plan that comes together, and we're looking at this thing again come, you know, July 1st, and we're 10 games under 500. I hope Cohen can, you know, being a business guy, can admit, hey, I made a mistake.
I think he will.
I listened to the wrong guy, and yeah, we let him go.
Dave, I think that's well within the reason, but he's going to give this guy an opportunity to operate this team as he sees fit. And there is the other roadway that it works. There is that pathway as well. Like there is that pathway to where the Mets are successful, that it does work, that you have the combination of the mind of David Stearns with the wealth of Steve Cohen moving forward here. That, you know, there is that possibility that it works as well. But I do think how the season ended presented an opportunity for David Stearns now to be able to put his impact, his imprint on this organization and his team. And that's why you brought him here, because you believed in his vision. So if it doesn't work, he'll be fired. There's no doubt. I don't think Steve Cohen's going to just sit here for 10 years and watch this team fail and say, wow, you know what? A guy grew up a Met fan. I'm going to continue. No, I think he'll be out with the bathwater.
Well, listen, I think if Stearns can bring back some, you know, maybe there is a big trade in the works, there's a big signing in the works, who knows? But the one thing I'm hearing about this clubhouse chemistry, I mean, I don't get it, right? I mean, as any Mets fan, any just team fan, right? The team fandom is what unites anyone. You could be young, old, black, white, man, woman, furry, whatever you want to be.
Furry.
You're cheering for your team. You love everybody, right? It's one of those things that how can a clubhouse not come together to try to win? I think Stearns, if he wants to build a culture, it's got to be with the right guys, but you also got to have some power stars. It can't just be Juan Soto and Francisco Lindor.
Come on, as Zeal pointed out on SNY, you know, you're going to watch, I mean, Juan Soto get walked all the time, and he's not wrong about that. Linda in Long Beach up next to the family. What's going on, Linda?
Yeah, and that was my point exactly. Soto was not a Stearns guy, all right? There's nothing about that contract that it says Stearns on it, all right? That was the boss. He brought him in. And then let the protection walk out the door. They want Severino, a guy that could pitch in New York. He brought back Montas. He was not watching what Montas did with the Yankees. He watched what he did with the Milwaukee. They brought him in. Stinks. But every Met fan could have told you he was going to stink. All right? That's it. So Severino, a seven-inning pitcher. He didn't want him.
Sevy wanted to come back, and Stern said, thanks, but no thanks. We're moving on. Yeah, I agree with that. Listen, Montas, everybody and their mother thought the Montas signing was a disaster when they made it.
Was disgusting, all right? So now we're going to give this guy who has no protection for Soto, let a guy who was never injured, played every day, and was an RBI guy and a home run power guy, and gave protection to Soto and let him walk out the door.
Yeah, they did. Linda, they did, but there's...
Why did they bring in Soto?
Well, but Linda, can I ask you, was Alonso part of a team that won a World Series?
Oh, do you know what? No. Their pitching stunk.
Right, it did.
They had no pitching.
Okay, that's fair. That's right. Right. I understand
that.
And then
they burnt out... Wait a minute. They burnt out the pitching. They burnt out the bullpen because the pitchers couldn't pitch more than four or five innings.
Terrible. Right, the pitching
And you blame Mendoza for that. And that was crazy.
Well, Linda, I understand the hurt and the pain, the anger of Alonso leaving is real. I get
it. It's even more
Pete.
Than that, though. It's even more than that. The pitching was a disaster.
It was. Linda, you're preaching to the choir. I totally agree with you. The pitching was bad. And that's where, see, Stearns had to overcome a couple of things. There is a lack of belief. I use the word trust. There's a lack of trust in the Stearns vision. And you got to see it in order to believe it. And I think he understands that. I think he understands if he flips on this very radio station, the vitriol, the anger that you're going to get from the Met fan right now is understandable because of the what went down a year ago. The fact that, you know, guys that were well-liked by this fan base are no longer here. That there potentially is a regression back into the bullpen, replacing Edwin Diaz with Devin Williams, and that you don't necessarily trust in the vision of David Stearns. I get it. And I mentioned it before. It's kind of funny where you have got the richest singular owner in all of Major League Baseball, and now he's getting limited by the president who wants to go out there and build this team with scrappers and, you know, and grinders day in and day out. Doesn't want necessarily the stars. But I mentioned before, listen, the Soto signing, yes, that was a Cone signing, and I said it worked. Now you might say, well, why did it work? The Mets didn't win a World Series. They didn't go to the playoffs. They crashed and burned at the end, right? But look at the impact of the Soto signing from a business perspective. Look at the amount of people that showed up. The Soto signing lit a fire under the Met fan base, where there was the celebratory mood and taking a guy from the Yankees. So that's why that all worked. Now, will it work long term? Well, the goal is obviously winning. Pat New Rochelle's up next to the fan. What's going on, Pat?
Good morning or good afternoon. How are you today?
I'm great, Pat. How are you, bud?
I'm delightful. Here's my real simple, and the guy from Stanford was on par. I struggle with Mendoza and somebody having to check his pulse every once in a while during a game. But the Alonso thing, it's evident that he just was not a good team player. When the Lindor thing came up last year, when David Wright was getting put into the Mets Hall of Fame and Lindor was going to be the next captain and all that propaganda was happening, It should have been Pete Alonso. If there was people behind Pete Alonso, he should have been the guy that talked about being captain, but it never was. And he's never been that type of person to be that leader. Yeah, he'll pop your home runs, but he's not going to lead it. He's on a decline. David Stearns is an analytics guy, and he knows what he has coming up through his system. He's not stupid. He's going to be trading for good guys. People just have to be patient. And Nimmo's on a decline, and McNeil declined. They got to have, a rookie pitcher who's, you know, hasn't hit puberty yet for him. So,
well, he's 17. I believe he's hit puberty, but I get the point that you're making. He's young, right? You can look at Nimmo, Alonso for what they are. The Met fan is thinking about what this team is going to look like after a disastrous 2025, what this team is going to look like in 2026. I mean, that's what they're looking at. And they want to see a representable, viable product. And they want to see a winning product. And they don't want there to be limitations or looking toward 2 or 3 years from now. Look at that, Steve Apria across the way. Nobody better than Apria. Beautiful ponytail, Steve. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas. He's the best. Anyway, I digress. As far as the Mets, I think you got to just wait it out. I get the impatience. I get the lack of trust in David Stearns. I understand what's transpired during the course of this offseason up until this point in time. But the offseason is not complete. It is not done. The piece of artwork not finished just yet. We'll see what it looks like at the end. Now, does it look like a Monet or does it look like graffiti on the side of a truck? I want to thank our friends at Town Fair Tire. They remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires you trust. From Connecticut to Maine, nobody beats Town Fair Tire, and I mean nobody.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.